Peoria. This is Sports Radio 950 KJR's special coverage of Mariners spring training.
I've been cut already.
Brought to you by the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest, and ANA, All Nippon Airways. Now from the Peoria Sports Complex, here's Chuck and Buck in the morning.
It'll rain a sunny day, I know. Shining down like water.
Oh, I didn't want to talk over CCR out of respect.
It's a good call.
Out of respect.
Very good call.
Welcome in. It's Chuck and Buck in the morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. And here we are back in rainy Arizona for our Friday edition, our final edition here from spring training. And so that we didn't feel like we were welcome here in Arizona, it's cold and rainy again for us. So there you go. Yeah, just to make sure that we didn't get to the end of the week and want to move here.
Yeah.
Arizona decided, you know what, let's go ahead and make it unseasonably frigid and damp for you once again so that you can feel like you're freezing inside for 12 straight hours.
Yeah, might as well not even dabble into the 50s. Might as well keep right there in the 30s and 40s. And hey, you know what, Seattleites? Yeah. Here's a little rain just to make you feel home, like you're at home. It's unbelievable. And then, next week it'll be 75.
I'm sure it will. Yep. I don't think there's any question about it. But we've had a blast. I mean, honestly, it's been we've had great shows. It's I've not had a session like this where I felt like I got to know the players and the team better. Now here's Scott Servais coming out in a pair of shorts. Everybody. What's he doing?
Well, he's a man.
Yeah.
That's a man's man.
Scott and I are like buddies now, so we're probably going to vacation together this year.
Oh, really? Yeah. I don't know. I think you might have read a little bit too much into the interview. Well, I think so.
He didn't just come out to say hi to me?
No, I think he's coming out to see the fields see how cold it is, see that there's puddles all over the fields.
I'll work on them. I'll wear them down.
Buck, Barbados? You should see if he needs any Gatorade towels.
No, I'm using all the Gatorade towels. Even with my pants on, I'm using the Gatorade towel slick. I'm not giving these away. The skipper can get as many Gatorade towels as he wants. He doesn't need mine.
Look, you're going to come home soon. It's like timeouts in your pocket. You can't take them with you.
Maybe I can.
Well, the rain has become quite the story here. And look, one of the pieces of advice that we were given, Slick Hawk from Kevin Clocky, was, hey, I know that the weather's crappy, but don't talk about it too much because we don't want that to become the focal point. The problem is that it's the focal point, really, of everybody who's here.
Yeah.
I mean, Scott Servais came out to find out how wet the fields are and whether or not he can practice today.
Yes.
I mean, he just had a game canceled yesterday, the first spring training game, where that were really kind of dumb to try that. Yesterday, knowing what the forecast was, knowing the kind of morning that we had yesterday in Peoria, and knowing that Mesa, although across the valley, is still only a 40-minute drive away, and clouds can move pretty fast. So we got over there, and in the second inning, it started to sprinkle, right on my stale nachos. And the next thing you know, it's, deluge in the middle of the second, and they just went ahead and called the damn thing off.
Yep. Might as well.
Yeah.
We got 1.5 innings in. By the way, we rake, I guarantee, as of right now, hottest hitting team in Major League Baseball.
Wade LeBlanc. All right, today's the day. When can you come out? Can you come out later?
We got a meeting at 8.
Is everybody hearing that? We're talking live with Wade LeBlanc right now. Look at this guy.
I feel special.
I'll talk only Saints football. Right now. I'll talk only Saints football if that's what you want to do. We can just break down the Saints.
Get your clown shirt on. Roger Goodell clown shirt. You don't have it on right now?
All right. Well, slip out. We're going to put you on the air. All right. Wade LeBlanc, ladies and gentlemen. That guy, bulldog.
Bulldog.
That's all you can
gamer.
Say about him. Bulldog.
Mm-hmm. Gets it done.
Anyway, what were we talking about before Wade rudely interrupted?
Rain. Weather?
Probably.
The Mariners rake.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Hottest hitting team in the league right now, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, at this point, what would that be? They had 5 runs in 2 innings.
Like 23 a game?
Basically they're on pace to score 23 a game.
Yeah. That's going to be hard to beat if you're an opponent.
I'm pretty sure you're going to win a bunch of ball games. You score 20-plus runs a game.
Yeah. I don't know. It depends on the bullpen.
No, I don't even care about the bullpen. We can have guys from their, the other team, well, I mean, from our own team come out and throw. No, there's we're going to dominate this year based on the first inning and a half I watched.
Well, get off my damn shed long. You got off to a great start.
Yeah. Doubles in the first inning. And I said, well, sorry, shed it. Can't get any better from here. And so then he goes, well, how about a ground rule double to deep right center?
Yeah.
Everything so he basically was proved me wrong.
That team was in midseason form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then the rains came.
Get off the damn shed!
I like me some shed long.
Here's another observation that I made yesterday, Slick Hawk, that a guy built like Vogelback is either nicknamed Spanky or Pudge. There's like 66% chance that he's nicknamed Spanky or Pudge,
sounds
right?
About right, yeah.
Yeah.
So I decided since he never got one of those nicknames that from this point forward, we call him Spudge.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a combination.
Yeah, a combination of the two.
Well, he's in better shape, so you can't really go full Pudge.
No, it doesn't matter. He's in better shape, but he's full Pudge.
Okay, well, I was trying to give the man some credit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Vogel so Spudge.
Spudge.
Vogelback.
That's my new nickname. So get off the damn shed long, and we got Spudge.
Get off the damn shed!
Yeah.
Yeah. I call him, I always screw up the last part of his name. Vogelbach, Vogelback,
Back. Vogelback.
Whatever. Yeah. Now it's Vogel Spudge. That's what it is.
It sounds like a SpongeBob SquarePants character.
It is.
Vogel Spudge.
Yes. Probably could be one of those.
Hey, Squidworm, have you seen Vogel Spudge?
He's over there with the starfish.
A new player on the team.
And you should have seen at the yard yesterday the gelato stand. Man, I've never had more people. I've never been more seen anything more sad, Slick.
Well, you took a picture.
Yeah.
Of all the business that was showing up at the gelato stand.
Keep in mind, this was during the rain delay before they'd called it off, where everyone in the stadium was in that alleyway.
In the concourse. Yeah.
In that concourse, you know, maybe grabbing a hot dog while they were giving them away because they started, like, panicking. We made a bunch of hot dogs, and we got to give them away. Maybe grabbing a last beer, even though I don't know why you would want to grab an overpriced beer on your way out of a building. But people were doing it. But that gelato stand, there wasn't anyone coming. You might as well have been selling anthrax.
It felt like anthrax if you were to buy some. Hands freeze to the cup. Yeah, not a lot of business at the gelato stand. I don't know who's managing that place, but they should maybe be fired.
I'm actually 90% immunized against anthrax, believe it or not.
Oh, are you going to fire them for the can't control the weather?
I'm going to fire anyone that says, you know what, hey, I'm going to put you at the gelato stand. Because you just don't need anyone at the gelato stand.
Yeah, but you license it out for the entire season. It's just bad luck. You're going to fire somebody that just had a run of bad luck with Arizona weather?
I'm saying you don't need need a person. I bet they didn't sell one scoop of gelato.
If they did, then that guy deserves a medal.
Well, look, it's day one of spring training. Okay, gelato stand operators, they need training too. Okay, they're just warming up, getting into the season.
They got none.
She did a lot of scraping of the sides of the bowl.
She got nothing.
To kind
she
of break nothing. It loose. It was like the gelato was getting too frozen.
Yes.
All right, before we go any further, we better find out what's on tap.
Chuck and Buck know what's brewing. This is What's on Tap.
Everybody's going to think I'm insane, but I know I'm right.
I'm kind of excited to hear it, and kind of scared.
Poured by Pelican Brewing Company. Born at the beach.
Pelican, fly. Come on, Pelican.
Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Well, you already heard live on the air that Wade LeBlanc's going to join us at some point today. Mitch Haniger's going to be by today, and we're thinking 7:20 for the new face of the franchise, so he's going to swing by. Manny Actis coming up in just a little bit, the bench coach to Scott Service, so we're going to talk to him in about, 11, 12 minutes from now. And I think we're going to get Dave Sims, even though he doesn't know it. I think we're going to get Dave Sims by. And I don't even know, with the rain, the schedule's kind of been disrupted clearly for the Mariners, so who knows who ends up stopping by. Yeah, I mean, Ken Griffey Jr. could stop by. I mean, who knows?
It's possible.
Aiming a little too high there.
I think aiming a little bit too high. Mm-hmm. I mean, this has been a really good week. We've really kind of, I think, knocked it out of the park, gotten to know these guys really well, but I don't know for sure if we're going to see the Jr.
Yeah, probably going to wait till it's warmer.
Yeah, the kid is not probably going to come outside and talk on the radio, period, in this weather.
Well, that's just being lazy, Junior. across the way at the Padres complex, which, of course, the Mariners share, and the rivalry is intense.
Oh, what a rivalry.
Manny Machado is going to be introduced today to the San Diego Padres faithful, or introduced as a member of the San Diego Padres. So, big doings over there in the other building.
Yeah, I wonder what the heck you went and bought. I mean, what would I go buy if I just signed a $300 million contract? I don't know, man. Lucky dude. I really wish I was him right now.
I'll tell you one thing. Nothing for my mom.
No?
I'm tired of her hanging over my head.
Did she raise your coattails?
Yeah. So tired of her hanging over my head that all the things she did
for me. Keeping you alive?
Yeah.
Wow. From?
Yeah. Enough.
Wow. That's enough's enough.
Enough, Mom.
Okay. I gave you all kinds of like finger paints and stuff from kindergarten. That wasn't enough to pay you back?
Get off your high horse is what I want to tell her.
Oh,
you think you?
I do not think that to my mom.
You breastfeed a person till he's nine, and you think you own him for life.
Till he's nine,
yeah.
Yes,
isn't that normal?
You owe him a house.
Isn't that average?
I think that's a little bit longer. Is it a little more? Oh,
okay.
I think so.
All right. I was raised by that Game of Thrones queen.
You'd be surprised.
Oh, Aunt Liza.
It's true.
We don't know if Bryce Harper's going to sign today, but it probably is coming soon. I think we're hearing more about teams that are scared off by his asking price than we are of those that are interested. But that's the next big chip to fall. Now, the biggest name maybe in sports right now is Zion Williamson. Looks like he just has a sprain. So I don't know if he's just built differently, as we suggested yesterday, or if it just looked worse than it actually was. Probably point B. But Zion Williamson is day-to-day, according to Coach K, so he could play perhaps this weekend. Who knows? Duke's going to need him. Meanwhile, the Zags won their 17th consecutive conference title last night. So from Zion to Zags, and believe me, Marco Gonzalez might have been the only person in the world cheering Zion Williamson's injury this week, because that probably opens the door for the Zags to win a national title, potentially. Another conference title for the Zags, well on their way to a one or two seed in the tournament. And finally, Slickhawk, how much thought have you given to the AAF this week?
Just enough to put in my waiver claims and set my lineup.
Okay.
Yeah.
I asked Bucky that question. He was like, I didn't even think about it until you just mentioned it.
Yeah, I hadn't. And that sucks, because I actually was really excited about it when it started.
I'm excited about what it could be. And I'm excited for Tony Softly being on the ground floor of it, our friend Tony Softly. And I think that there is a way that it will work. But like, they've already received a bailout.
All right.
So you already got that. And then I don't know if that's going to be enough. So I don't know how this season ends. I just hope that somebody in the NFL, maybe Roger Goodell, who Wade LeBlanc can't wait to trash, will say, you know what, I've seen enough to understand the merits. Let's get some smart people in a room. I won't be in there. Don't worry. And we'll figure out a way to make that thing function, to make some money off of it, and to improve our product with this little laboratory experiment that we've purchased. So I hope that's the future for the AAF.
So
but as it currently stands, I'm sorry. I'm not engaged. I'm not going to worry about missing games this weekend. All right, coming up next, Manny Acta is going to join us here live from our set at Mariners Spring Training. So the bench coach will give us his thoughts on the changing game of baseball. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Now back to Chuck and Buck in the Morning, live from Peoria, and our special coverage of Mariners Spring Training on Seattle Sports Radio 950 KJR.
Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR, and joining us now here at our set here in Peoria for Mariners Spring Training is Mariners bench coach Manny Acta is with us. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Yeah?
Yeah, thanks for asking.
That clock, I mean, it says it's time for baseball again. So as a longtime baseball guy, I mean, are you fired? Do you get fired up every year? Does something happen to you physiologically that you're like, oh, yeah, I can see, you know, it's time for baseball season?
Always.
Always?
This is my 32nd spring training, and I do winter ball, too, over the last 6 years, and I don't spend that much time at home, but even this year, when we were a week away from spring training, you feel that adrenaline, and you just want to get back out here, so that's never going to go away.
Where are you coaching at winter ball?
I do work in the Dominican Republic as a GM. Last 6 years, I've been trying to experiment the other side of the game. I really want to show baseball that I can not only throw a bat in practice and hit ground balls and just be in uniform. Mm-hmm. I want to experience that, the other side of it. So we work as a GM, and you know, hopefully someday when I'm no longer can work on the field, I'll be able to help somebody out.
Nice. Yeah. Your coaching staff has changed quite a bit. Let me start with the guy that left, Edgar Martinez. How happy are you for him?
I'm happy for
him. Not that
him.
He left.
Yeah.
That he
yeah.
got to the Hall of Fame.
I got you.
I thought he was going there, too.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that he got out.
How happy are you? You don't have to see that guy anymore.
I'm very happy for Edgar. And, we knew it was just a matter of time. And, you know, he's an outstanding human being. He's an icon over there, as you guys know, in Seattle. He not only has a street name after him, he has a bar in the stadium.
Yeah. And, you ever seen anything like that before?
Oh, he's got an award name after him. So working with a guy like that on an everyday basis is fantastic. But, you know, he's also great. He was very good with our hitters. But I understand. I understand where he's coming from. He has spent so much time away from his wife and kids, and he really wanted to enjoy them. And we'll have him. We'll have him just not full-time, and we'll appreciate every single minute he spends around us.
I mean, think about it. Babe Ruth got a candy bar. That was it. He got a highway and a cantina.
And an award name after him.
Yeah, the DH Award.
The DH Award.
I think it's so amazing, especially for a guy that was the second best DH in Mariners history behind me to get all that stuff, right? I've been looking around. I don't know where it is. I just haven't walked into the right part of the building to see my picture anywhere on the wall. Maybe you can direct me after the interview where I'll find it.
It's probably behind the wall.
It's behind the wall. It's on the inside. Yes.
Yeah.
Chuck said he's going to get some crayons and he's going to draw my face somewhere just to make me feel better.
I think there's a coaster somewhere with your face on it.
You got this year's team. Bunch of new faces. You know, they call it rebuilding, whatever the heck that means exactly. I mean, we all get it, and I think it's somewhat understandable. What's it like from your standpoint when you get a ton of new dudes, but you know as well as I know, and we've heard it from a bunch of players, they're not coming here thinking, well, team thinks we're going to suck this year, so we'll just, you know, we'll just cash it in and we'll talk to you guys in 2020 or 2021. What's it like as a coach to kind of make sure they're thinking that way and then also have that, be able to make sure they understand the realistic expectations and goals and plans of what they should look for?
Well, first of all, you never show up over here and take this as a rebuilding. And I've been in rebuildings before. I did the one in Washington, and I did the one in Cleveland. And this is not a rebuilding. If you want to label it that way, fine. We don't have the big names, and we don't have those guys that just left us. And probably this kid is going to take him a year to get back into it. But we're talented. When you put an outfield of Haniger, and you put Santana in left field, and then you put
Malik
Smith in center field, I mean, that's a pretty good outfield for a rebuild. And then you have Seager, and then you have Crawford and those talented kids, Beckham, and you have D. Gordon, and the three, four guys that we can throw at you at first base.
Right.
I mean, the starting rotation, those guys have thrown the ball well over the last couple of years. I think it's going to be about our bullpen. We got some good arms over here. Obviously, our whole bullpen is out of here. But this is not your normal rebuilding. When I was in D.C., I knew that I was going to get my ass whooped, you know, on every single day basis. So we had to come to the ballpark every day and try to convince kids that we can win.
Right.
But, you know, in fact, you used to go to Yankee Stadium. It's like, hey, man, if we get Mariano Rivera into the game, we're in the right direction.
Yeah.
That means we're losing only by three against the Yankees. But I don't think that's the case here. And, you know, Jerry, yes, he brought a lot of talent over here. The front office brought a lot of talent. And it's going to be fun. It's going to take some time. But also, the good part about it is you bring in new, young, energetic guys that we can mold. guys that we can mold them any way we want, and a bunch of high character guys. So we're looking forward to it. I think it's going to be exciting.
Maniac is our guest bench coach for the Mariners here on Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950 KJR. Somebody's been around the sport for 32 years in one capacity or another. We seem to be embarking on a new age of how to play this game, or at least how to analyze it. How do you take to, as somebody that may, I'm sure, entertain managing at some point down the line, how do you adapt to all of the new data that's being poured into the league?
Well, life is about adjusting, adapting, and improvising. And nothing is new. I think what we have new now is a technology that can tell us whether we're teaching something right, or whether it's working, or whether we are teaching the wrong thing to a kid. I think that you still have to teach guys how to hit, how to feel, how to throw the ball. All that's still part of the game. A computer is not going to be able to do that. But that technology now allows these guys to have more information in your swing, the so-called launch angle, attack angle, as we call it right now. That's always been out there. It's just that we didn't have the technology to read all that and to have enough data for us to know whether I'm teaching Bucky the right thing. And a lot of the older coaches, and I put myself in there, even I'm only 50, but I've been coaching forever. Some of them think that, oh, the game's passed me by and there's no room for me in the game. There is room for you in the game, because we still need people to teach these guys how to do it. And I just tell them, don't take it personal. You know, the technology, and nowadays, is just finding ways to see whether the guys are doing things right or wrong, or finding ways whether sometimes a guy can do something because it's physical. It's not that, that he's not smart enough, or that you're not teaching him the right way, but because of the technology, they're finding out, well, maybe he's got some issues with his hips, and he needs some exercises to maybe loosen up the hips, and then he'll be able to get the backside through the ball and all that kind of stuff. So I don't feel bad. I'm just trying to adjust to it, and I still feel that there is room for everybody, and there is a combination. At the end of the day, a laptop can't tell you about makeup. And you know that.
Yeah.
Laptop is not going to tell you about that. Laptop is not going to be able to read a guy on an everyday basis like we do when we interact with players in the clubhouse, in the dugout. But data, it's important, because that's fact. I mean, they're not making things up. And this is just helping us make our decision in the best manner possible.
Hey, Manny, the game kind of is cyclical in the way, like, trends that it goes into, right? There's big power surge there for a long time. Right now we're in kind of that launch angle. It seems like there's a bunch of dudes with long swings that are fine with punching out 200 times a year, and I'll just hit into the shift or whatever. It seems like with this roster, and I don't know if this is a long-term goal of Jerry's or not, but there's a lot of speed. Speed never slumps, is the old saying. How much are you guys going to turn these guys loose? The Malik Smith, the D. Gordon. Is this just flat-out green light, let's go swipe a couple hundred bags and put pressure on the defense?
I think that's the direction we're heading with a lot of these guys. Scotty is he's very loose with those guys in spring training. They're going to be running all over the place, and we have the people to do that. And that's the thing. It's not that you don't want to turn people loose, but you have to turn loose the right people that can steal bases. And as you pointed out, I think we have a bunch of guys that we're emphasizing on controlling the strike zone. And by that, also just making contact. I mean, you want to control the strike zone. You want to walk, but you don't want to strike out as much. And to your earlier point about the strikeout, a lot of people are blaming that on the launch angle, attack angle, however you want to call it. But you know what? And you can see this because you play the game. I just have never seen so many guys throwing as hard as these pitchers are throwing nowadays.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I think the game's harder now than it was when I played, when you played.
Yeah, it's a lot harder. You know, they have all the data, and they have all the information that now they know where to attack hitters. And you see guys elevating the ball more than they did in the past. But also, even when you play, I mean, and he didn't play 40 years ago. I'm talking about he played
10, 15 years ago.
I saw you in Tacoma, I believe it was, when I was coaching in AAA. Mm-hmm. But now you have every team has 5 or 6 dudes coming out of the pen blowing mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the game has changed. You know, the people, the information, that's where it comes in handy. Oh, people complain about, oh, we don't have complete games anymore. Well, wait a minute. If I'm running a game, do I want to take a chance of having a guy who has 110 pitches in the seventh inning, you know, where his stuff is down and seen Bucky Jacobs some three times already? Or do I want to bring a guy from the bullpen throwing 97 miles per hour with sink, which, you know, the guy hasn't seen him? I mean, that's where the game has changed, and that's why the guys strike out so much now. They see a starter 5 innings in the third. Mm-hmm. And then after that, they bring like three guys with closer stuff. I'll give the pitchers the credit for all the strikeouts instead of just trying to think that it's the hitters.
No, I'll give them some. I'm not going to give them that much credit, man. I don't want to give pitchers any more credit than they deserve.
Are we on the right track? Yes or not?
I mean, oh, no doubt. It was only 15 years ago. When I was playing, it was literally there was one or two guys that were throwing mid-90s. And there was hardly ever a starter throwing like that. You know, now there's every starting rotation has two guys or three guys that do it, and everybody out of the bullpen's pumping a hundo. It is different. I agree with that.
Yeah, but to John Smoltz's point, John Smoltz is like, I could have thrown 97, 98, but I was taught to not rev it up on every pitch. I was conditioned, I was trained not to rev it up on every pitch, and ended up having a 21-year career. Are these guys costing themselves? In this sport, are we costing those young players longer careers because they're just revving it up? Or have we just hit some fountain that's brewed forth, Manny, a bunch of 100-mile-per-hour electric arm guys?
I don't think so. I think that the game has just changed because of the information that we have. And it's because of that. It's proven that a pitcher starts to drop off his effectiveness once he sees the lineup more than twice.
Yeah.
It's been proven. I mean, they have stats to show you that. Now, is that everybody? Is that against everybody? No. Yeah. I mean, the horses on each team still can go three times through a lineup. But the other guys, I mean, that's where the bullpen thing comes in handy. And they discovered that because they gone into the stats. I guarantee you that if back in the days, those guys who managed or ran teams had smartphones and computers and laptops and all the data, they probably would have done it too. I mean, that's how the game is going. It's information. It's nothing wrong with it, and that's how life is.
Yeah. What do you think of the pitch clock, though?
At some point, probably will happen. I know that the players don't like it, the pitchers don't like it, but I don't know. But if you ask me, my personal opinion,
I'm making you commissioner.
I don't care about
really
how much the game lasts. I love baseball.
Okay,
I love baseball.
Right.
I don't care. I'm not the guy who's going to be complaining about, oh, the game lasted three hours and 30 minutes. Go watch soccer then. I mean, if you don't like baseball, go watch something else.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a documentary on Netflix.
Yeah.
You know, you can watch all week long if you'd like.
Record it and watch it. Fast forward then if you don't like it.
Yeah. I love baseball because in between innings I can go to the bathroom and not miss any action. That's the part I love about baseball.
There's a lot of talking trash and BSing with your buddies too in between pitches.
In between
pitches. Still watch every single pitch, but boy, I had a lot of time talking smack.
I heard in Oakland you can just do that right in the dugout.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I heard the story wrong. Yeah. I don't know.
It's pretty close. I think you can do both at the same time. I think you can go to the bathroom and see the feel. But with all the cameras nowadays, you don't want to take that chance.
So true.
Thanks for stopping by, man. We appreciate it. Great
all
to
right,
catch up
guys.
With you.
Thanks,
Manny Acta joining us here, walking away. Oh, man, that guy. I like that guy.
He's a spark plug.
Yeah.
Right? Full of energy.
I'd like to play for that guy. I know he's had a couple rounds, got given a couple of opportunities, and there are probably people out there saying, at least he got an opportunity. He got multiple opportunities. But he's right. He had to take on two rebuilding projects. And then the next thing you know, it's like, am I ever going to get a chance again? But, man, I'd like to play for that guy.
Yeah, I agree. He's got a great attitude. Great personality. I think you might just really, really like his accent.
I don't want to sound like a girl here, but I would like to have that accent.
I didn't know if you wanted me to bring that up, but I was going to bring it up
anyways. I think those days are probably behind me and probably the country.
I don't think so.
You know what I'm saying?
I think you would have a good accent.
Yeah, but imagine if I rolled in blonde hair, blue-eyed, and then caught a girl off guard with Manny Acta's voice.
Oh,
you know?
Very exotic you would be, Mr. Powell.
Yes or not? Powell.
Yes or not. That stuff is like, that's gold.
It is gold.
He doesn't even realize how gold that is.
So I think you are pretty. Do you think I am pretty? Yes or not?
Game over.
Game over.
That girl is like, oh, that's the most adorable thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. It is yes. It is
not.
I love it. Yeah.
Well, he doesn't understand the weapon he's had his entire adult life.
Yeah, we will get him on. We'll have him on during the season. I'm sure he's a good interview. He knows his stuff, man. That guy's been around. What do you say, 32nd spring training
year?
Man.
Yeah. We appreciate him coming on here at Mariners spring training. One thing that I didn't get into with him, we talked a little bit about the pitch clock, but I did not ask him about baseball apparently trying to go after sign stealing.
Oh,
they have mapped out a few rules that they're going to use this year. Before I even map out the rules for you, I will just say if you make like one move of rule changes in the off season and it's about sign stealing and you've got like four different things that you're going to do to try to curtail sign stealing, like advanced sign stealing, basically you're raising your hand and saying, man, we've had a big problem with sign stealing over the years. I don't think that the average fan is sitting there like worried about this.
No.
So much. Now, I'm with them in terms of, like, the technology, using technology to steal signs. Yes, I'd like to somehow find a way to keep that from happening. But how about just announcing, if we catch you using technology to steal signs, you're going to lose a first-round draft pick.
There you go.
That's all you got. Scare the poo out of them, and then they won't use it. You don't need to come up with ban on all cameras in the outfield, live broadcast limited to teams designated replay official, all TV monitors on an 8-second delay. You know, just do that. You don't need to announce rules. Just go ahead and force those behind the scenes. Don't make it a national story because all you've done is led people to believe, well, man, this must have been a much bigger problem than I thought it was.
Right. And I mean, you're exactly right. I mean, stealing signs is part of the game. The real way to steal signs. Watch a guy, figure it out.
Yeah.
This is what he does. Oh, and they stole. Watch him again. That he did the same thing. Stole. That's a thing that's actually makes you a good coach or a good player if you can pick that stuff up. If you're using technology, you're just recording people and recording them, and then all of a sudden you're picking it up. That's cheating. That's going above and beyond the kind of natural part of the game that stealing signs is supposed to be in there. So you're right. I agree. I don't think most people think that it's going crazy over the line, but I guess if people are doing it, then yes, implement some sort of rules, but make it exactly what you said, where the consequences are going to far outweigh whether or not you got a steal and you got a pitch out and threw that guy out. That's going to far outweigh it if you lose a first-round pick, and people just will stop doing it. But, I mean,
I would just, like, send a memo to all of the teams and say, all right, here's the new way we're doing it. Everything's got to be on 8-second delay. Bah, 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 bah. You know, you don't need to make this like baseball's cracking down on sign stealing. You
have
one rule. Make the punishment, like, absurdly harsh.
Right.
And teams won't do it.
Yeah. Well, because it's not worth that much.
Yeah, and you're not going to penalize the person doing it, the lab rat that's been sent in, you know, into the maze. No, just, I don't care who did it. I don't care who was responsible for it. You know, if you get caught doing it, we're going to take away draft picks, and we're going to start with the first round, and then we're going to just keep plucking them off as the years go on. And if you don't have a first-round draft pick until 3,000, then, you know, crack down on people stealing signs with technology.
I hope those pitch-outs worked.
One rule. One rule. That's all you got
to
do.
Yeah, and you don't even have to make it a big giant to-do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Until the first time somebody does get caught, and then you have to announce it and go, oh, yeah, we implemented this. We sent the memo out. And
you know what you get to accomplish that way? You don't have to monitor it anymore. Now the individual teams will monitor it and make sure that there's no rogue jackass down there with a video camera like we saw a couple of years ago standing on the lip of the dugout intentionally trying to steal signs.
Yeah.
You know, you go ahead and put the onus on the on every club out there to make sure this isn't happening.
Yeah, 100%.
Don't sit there and try to monitor 30 freaking giant stadiums. Make put it on them. You monitor your own yard.
Yep.
You know we don't allow this, and if we catch anybody doing it, whether they are rogue or not, we're going to come down hard on you.
Yep.
Bottom line, game over. You don't have any more technology stealing signs.
Right.
All right, coming up next here on the program, yes, we're at Mariner Spring Training Facility, but the big story here today is happening across the way. How could this impact the Mariners in the future? We will talk about it next.
IUS only.
Now back to Chuck and Buck in the Morning, live from Peoria, and our special coverage of Mariners Spring Training on Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR.
Chuck and Buck in the Morning, Sports Radio 950, KJR. Our coverage of spring training concludes today. Which is kind of sad because we're having a lot of fun getting to know the team and breaking down baseball throughout the course of the week. But it also means that I won't have to spend 12 hours a day freezing to my core. Yeah. So there's a good and bad to this being our final show here.
And I'm going to go ahead and say the hotel we stay in has the least comfortable bed I've ever slept on as well. It's really nice to wake up 6 to 7 times a night so you can readjust the rock that I have for a pillow. That's really enjoyable.
But at least they provide 6 rock pillows.
They do. Yeah. We do.
You can get your rock pillow of choice.
Yes.
If you put in the time.
Firm or firm or really firm. Yes, it's really amazing. But I am going to miss hanging out, kind of getting to know these guys. It's been a fun week.
Yeah. The only thing that I want, and there's a finish line ahead of me, and do not sabotage me. I didn't even realize I had a stocking cap in my coat. It was there for emergency reasons.
Oh.
I think from back when my mom told me, make sure you have a hat.
Make sure you have a hat and your gloves.
And your gloves before you get out on the road. And you're like, Mom, it's 68. You never know.
Well, she was right that one time.
So, yes, this one time I had a hat. Now, it's an awful-looking hat. And I am amazed that my nickname hasn't become FUD.
Why?
This week.
Beanie you got on now?
Yeah, the beanie that I have on.
I think it's a great hat. Oh. Maybe it's not so stylish to go with your fancy jacket and your leather gloves, but it's a great-looking hat.
Every time I look in the mirror, it looks like I'm hunting wabbits.
You know?
I'm fun.
I'll take that off your hands. I'll get you some fancy, primpy one.
FUD and Spudge.
FUD and Spudge.
Crime Fighters extraordinaire.
We need to get that. Yeah. You and
me and Vogelback.
Vogel Spudge walking around. FUD and Spudge.
Yeah,
Take on Peoria. Very quiet.
Very quiet.
I'm on a wabbit.
I'm going to sneak up on a fastball.
All right. Our coverage of spring training brought to you by ANA, All Nippon Airways. They're there for you. You want to make that trip to Japan? Man, that sounds like an awesome trip. If you've got the means and you're a Mariners fan, I think that's going to be a once-in-a-lifetime kind of baseball experience for you because you're never, ever going to have the Dragon. Scoring in on the field, Ichiro and Kikuchi on the field at the exact same time, and your Mariners playing in Japan. I think it'd be great, and ANA is your airways to hook that up. They're always flying out of SeaTac to Tokyo and throughout Asia. So if you got a spirit, you got a little adventure in you, go ahead and contact ANA and set that up for yourself. Also, the Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest, and you know all about the great work those guys do and gals. All right, so across the way, Manny Machado is going to be introduced as a San Diego Padre today. 10 years, $300 million, and that organization, which historically has been cash-strapped and historically has been less than good, is really making a push. We're the only game in town here in San Diego. We don't have a football team anymore. We don't have a basketball team. We don't have a hockey team. I mean, this is it. We are a baseball city now, and so why not try and take advantage of that? Why not be the Spurs of baseball? And even though we're not a big market, we got a brand new stadium for the most part, and we got an opportunity maybe to take advantage here. Let's excite our fan base. Let's grow our fan base by bringing in one of the best players in the game. And they are still, Bucky, at this point, barely over $100 million in payroll, which is why they are entertaining the thought of bringing in Bryce Harper as well.
Oh, wow.
So imagine lining both of them up for this offseason. It seems like a long shot, but they apparently are in on that. Thirdly, this is also a team with the number one farm system in baseball. So they had in MLB Network's top 100, 12 guys.
Wow.
As the top 100 prospects as ranked by MLB.com. So they can also package some guys together and go out and get a Noah Syndergaard, for example, who just yesterday said, doesn't look like I'm going to re-up with the New York Mets. Doesn't look like my future. If you hear that and you're the Mets and you got a guy that's had injury problems, maybe you do package him together for some of those prospects, and suddenly the Padres are certainly in go-for-it mode. I bring that up because the Mariners are kind of hoping to put themselves in the same position going forward. Now, this year, they are going to enter the season with a giant payroll. Considering that it's a rebuild, they're going to go in with $140 million, basically, of a payroll for this upcoming season. Less than last year, but still, I mean, that's a significant chunk. They're going to have $80 million committed by 2020. Unless they can make a couple trades this season with some of those players with the heavy salary. And then in 2021, you only have right now $35 million committed to your 2021 roster. Jerry DePoto has an opportunity by 2021 to really set this team up to have this kind of offseason
right.
that the Padres potentially are going to have. And that is exciting, even though it is 2 years away.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's the main look at his whole plan. I mean, you broke it down in your seven steps that you wrote the blog about, your seven steps that'll make Seattle Mariner fans uncomfortable, how it's not just your normal rebuild where you're tearing it down to the studs and you're going to take 5 years to rebuild. No, it's a 2-3 year plan that basically starts off by trying to replenish your farm system and get rid of some poorly spent money. And he's done that. Unfortunately, he's done it by he's had to give away a guy like Diaz to get rid of Cano's money. But you still have Seager, you have D. Gordon, you have some other big contracts that are still here. Felix, has this final year of his contract. But you're right. In 2 years, boy, they're not going to be strapped for cash. And if all of a sudden there's a couple of big free agents, they're going to be able to go out and make some trades. And Jerry likes to do that. He's going to want to go out and make big moves and spend some money, especially if all of a sudden some of these prospects that he got in these trades, some of the other guys they have in their system, we saw Shed Long yesterday. You start seeing some guys like that come to fruition, and all of a sudden there's only a couple holes to fill. That's going to be fun for Jerry. He's going to like that shopping spree.
Yeah, and here's some of the names that will be available that year. JT Realmuto, who's called the best catcher in the game right now, although he just got traded to Philadelphia, so they might try to re-sign him to a long-term deal. Andrelton Simmons will be available in that. Mike Trout will be available.
Yes, please.
In that market. Jackie Bradley Jr. will be available. Giancarlo Stanton has an opt-out that year from the Yankees, should he want to exercise it. Probably won't, because he's probably going to be overpaid. Jacob DeGrom.
Wow.
Bauer from Cleveland. James Paxton. I mean, you trade him, maybe even get him back at that point. So those are just some of the names that could be free agents that given year, where the Mariners are sitting on a pile of money, and maybe they're doing what the Padres are doing, but doing it from a platform of, we're an 80-win team, as opposed to we're a 65-win team.
Yeah.
In San Diego trying to do this. And so that's the vision. He's the man with the plan. Can he execute it? That remains to be seen, but that's the vision, and we'll see what happens here in the coming years. Coming up next, more from Mariners spring training. Also next hour, Mitch Haniger will join us, and we will certainly be talking about the big topic in all of sports, Zion Williamson. Sports Radio 950 KJR.